Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. So if someone asked you the question, what do you think is the most important thing to know out of the Bible, right? Think about that question for a second. Somebody said, hey, the Bible's huge. There's a lot of chapters. There's a lot of words in there. What is the most important thing for me to know out of the Bible? How do you think you would answer that question? Just think about that for a moment. Because Jesus was asked a question very, very similar to that, right? And in fact, there was a person who said, Jesus, out of all of the Bible, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus' reply was this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he followed it up to say, and another one is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law, all of the prophets, all of the scripture is summed up in these two commands, right? That was Jesus' response to what's the most important thing to know from that. And the response is to love God with everything about your whole life. And that is absolutely key when it comes to blurring the lines between life and worship, right? That's what we've been talking about. How do you do that? How do you blur the lines between life and worship? Because all of life is worship, right? Not a certain 70 minutes that happens on a location in a certain building because the setting and the environment is right, right? That's not worship alone. Worship is all of life is worship, and that's central. And we've been working from this definition we shared a couple weeks ago about what worship is. And so we've said, and we've defined worship this way, is that worship is seeing God's greatness, wanting him, and then focusing all of your life on him. That this is the essence of what worship is. Now, you can actually pull the Lord out of this definition. You can see how you can begin to replace God with other aspects that you might worship, right? Wealth, power, influence, comfort, whatever it might be, and you begin to worship other things. But when we're talking about those who want to walk with the Lord, worship is focused on the Lord first and foremost. And when we're talking about blurring the lines, that includes your life at home, right? That when we're worshiping, we're talking about blurring the lines of worship at home. And I would go so far as to say this, is that how you worship at home may be the most accurate indicator of how you truly worship. Let me say that again, because that's very important. That how you worship at home may be the most accurate indicator of how you truly worship God, right? And I know, right? Like, we come to this building, music is playing, the lights are low a little bit, we got a solid band, we got words on the screen. And so when some people are in a room in a setting like this, right, they'll sway, they'll clap their hands, they'll raise their hands, they'll sing, right? Their hands are wide open and they're worshiping, right? And they go, well, now that's me truly worshiping. Well, maybe, but also it could be that that's the environment that's set here, right? And the expectation is that that's an okay way to respond, right? Or you go to a camp, or you go to a concert, or you go to a retreat, and you see people worshiping in different ways, and you see them in that setting and go, oh, they're truly worshiping. And it could be just because that's the expectation that's set in that room or in that that culture for the day. So my question is this: what's the expectation for worship at your house? What's the expectation for worship? That actually, when we come here and we respond in certain ways, it may be simply because the environment has conditioned us that way. So if we're going to talk about blurring the lines, how do you create expectations for worship at your home in a similar way that you would here as well? So as Matt mentioned, if you would open up your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's the Old Testament, fifth book of the Old Testament. We're going to be in chapter 6 for a little bit, and we'll bounce around as well. But while you're going to Deuteronomy 6, I do want to welcome everybody here in the house. If you're newer here, we are so glad you're with us. If this is your first time, thanks for joining. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to say welcome to everybody in the house. Also want to welcome everybody joining us at Lighthouse Online. We are so glad that you are with us today as well. And in fact, I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we do me a favor and can we welcome all of our guests and everybody at Lighthouse Online this morning and let them know we're so glad you chose to be with us today. Now, for some of you, you're regular attenders here and you go, okay, like we only did one song and now you're teaching. How long is this teaching? Well, we're just doing a little bit of a flip-flop this morning, and you'll see why in a little bit. But we're in this series called Blurring the Lines, Living the Life of Worship, and we've been talking about how do you worship at work. Next week, we're going to talk about how do you blur the lines between worship and suffering, and then today, we're talking about how do you blur the lines between worship and home. And so before we dive into that teaching, let's take a moment and pray together. Lord, I have a lot of thoughts about this passage, a lot of thoughts about this topic, and my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would lead with certainty, that we would recognize this morning we are not hearing the thoughts of a guy, we are not hearing the thoughts of a teaching team, but rather it is evident that the Spirit is speaking to the depths of our souls. That includes mine as well. I deeply want to hear from you this morning, and would you teach us? Would you show us the pathway to blurring the lines between worship and home, that there would be a remarkable transformation in the places that we live, in our very lives as well. We know that's something, that's a work that only you can do, Holy Spirit, so we're asking you to do that. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 4 and just read the next couple of passages, and it says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Now, Moses is providing this law, these instructions for the nation of Israel, and where he starts in this portion is he says, listen, Israel, the Lord is God, and he alone is God above anyone or anything else, right? He is Lord alone. In fact, some of your versions, it says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, but you have a variant down in the bottom that says some other translations. I actually think the better translation rather than the Lord is one is the Lord, he is the Lord alone, right? That there's no other God. There's no other God who is Lord. It's just Yahweh. It's just God himself. And by the way, that word Lord is probably all caps in your Bible, is actually the translation for God's name of Yahweh, right? This is the name he gives to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 when he meets him in the burning bush. And Moses says, well, who am I supposed to say is sending me? And he says, you tell them Yahweh sent you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. This is the name of God. And so what Moses is saying is Yahweh is God, and he's God alone. No one else is God. Now, Moses is not coming up with something new. He's only repeating what God has already shared with the nation of Israel when they were on Mount Sinai, right? You have the Ten Commandments. The very first commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, says this. Let's read this out loud together, starting with "you shall have." Are you ready? Go. "You shall have no other gods before me." That's number one, right? Number one. And so Moses is simply repeating, he is reaffirming the commandment that God gave the nation of Israel to begin with, is that God is the Lord alone. The Lord is God alone. There are no others. And then what he says, listen, you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. What he's saying is this is a whole person commitment, right? That you actually love God with every part of who you are, right? To love God with your heart means you love him with your will and with your emotions. To love God with your soul is the very essence of your existence. To love God with your strength is your actions and your words. And so what Moses is saying is this is a whole person commitment. There's no part of you that is left out of loving God, right? It's all or it's nothing, right? It's not portions, it's not percentages, it's all is committed to God and loving him completely. And what Moses says, he goes, listen, these commandments are going to be on your heart, right? They're going to be deep down. They're going to be a part of who you are. They're just going to be integrated as a part of your life and how you think and how you live and how you act. And what he does is he gives some really practical tips, some really practical thoughts on how to do that. He says, these commandments are going to be on your heart. And then he says, what does he say next? You're going to impress them upon your children. Right? They're not only going to be true for you, they're going to be true for the next generations. And this word impress, when I think about that word, I think about stuff like Play-Doh, right? Like you have Play-Doh or you got clay and you can like smush, an impression into that. And then when you're done with that, you just, ball it back up and you create something new. That's not actually what that word impress means in the original language. It's actually closer to an engraver engraving into a monument. That once it's in there, it's in there. It stays. And in fact, to get rid of it, you would have to do remarkable destructive damage to get rid of it, right? That's what it means to impress the Lord's character, the Lord's commandments on the next generation, right? So you're talking about them with your children. But then he says, it's not just your children. You're just talking about them everywhere you go. You're talking about the Lord when you're sitting. You're talking about when he's walking on the road. You're talking when you lie down at night. You're talking about the Lord when you get up in the morning. And what Moses is doing is he's covering all of life. If you're inactive and just sitting around, you're thinking about and you're talking about the Lord. If you're out walking around, you're bebopping, living life, you're talking about the Lord. You're getting ready to go to bed. That's the end of the day. You're talking about thinking about the Lord. You get up in the morning. That's the beginning of your day. You're thinking about the Lord, right? What Moses is saying is thinking about God, letting his commandments actually pervades every single aspect of your life. There's no category where faith is over here and then I live the other parts of my life over here any way that I want to. This is a fully integrated lifestyle, right? And then he says you can even wear reminders on your forehead. You can put reminders on your arms. You can put them on your doorposts, things along those lines. And so these are all just really practical ways to allow the character of God to be in front of you all of the time. Now, why is Moses making this point so strongly right now, right? Like if you've done a year through the Bible, you've read through Genesis and you've moved along pretty well, and then you got to Leviticus, and you're like, I'm doing this because I love the Lord, right? That's why I'm reading it. And then some of you gave up. You're like, I love the Lord in the Gospels, right? why didn't Moses say this sooner? Why is he saying it now? I'll tell you why he's saying it now. Israel is just about to move into their new home. They're right on the edge of going into the promised land. They're getting ready to move into their new home. And part of what God is doing is he's reminding the nation of Israel, the land is not the blessing. The promised land is not the blessing. You know what the real blessing is? It's me. I'm the blessing. Because in the promised land, this is where I will be your God and you will be my people. And you will receive everything from my hand. And so don't get focused on your home. Don't get focused on the land, right? Your hope is not in the land. Your hope is in your God. And so what he's saying, he's going, listen, you're going to get in the land. There's going to be all of these great blessings there, but there's also going to be neighboring countries that worship other gods. And so I'm reminding you, don't focus on the land. Don't focus on the neighboring countries. You focus on me. You love me with everything inside of me, right? How does all of that intersect with us? And what does it mean for you and for me? Well, a lot of ways, but one that comes up pretty quickly for me is the fact that your home, my home, is a place of refuge, right? Your home, this is the place where, you can rest and you can relax and you can really be yourself, right? You can put your feet up. You can relax. You can chill. You don't have to be your best version when you're at home, right? Like out when we're here, like we're getting the better versions of each other. And I know some of you are looking at me right now, going, "This is the best you have to offer right now, right?" But we have good habits, good manners, right? We wear certain things here. We don't wear certain things here. So you get kind of the better version when you're at church or out in public. But at home, well, you get to relax, right? You can walk around with your favorite shirt that has the stains on it that you cook in all the time, right? Your pajama pants, if you're wearing pants at all, right? Like all, you can just be you and relax and chill at home. Here we get the refined version. The point that it crosses over for that Moses is saying is, hey, if you're a Christ follower, just because you're in your place of refuge and your place of where you're comfortable and you don't have to be on for anybody, you still worship Christ at home. God is still Lord at home. The Lord is still God of your life and your home, even in your cooking shirt and your pajama pants and whatever else, right? He is still God. And so it's okay to rest from work. It's okay at your home to rest from interacting with other people. It's okay when you're at home that you don't have to be the best version of yourself when you're out and about. But we continue worshiping God when we're home, right? We don't stop doing that. And in fact, if you compartmentalize your faith that when you get home, now I'm really not thinking about the Lord. I'm not worshiping him. I'm not letting him lead my life. If you compartmentalize your faith and your life like that, you are missing out on the authentic human experience. You are missing out, right? If you're worshiping God here and in this place primarily or only, you are missing out on the reason that Jesus came into this world, lived, died, and was resurrected back to life. And in fact, if you are compartmentalizing your life, this is one of the reasons you are not experiencing peace in your life. You feel disjointed because you're not whole, right? You were never created to compartmentalize God off to a portion of your life. He was always meant to be the center. He was supposed to be the totality. The focus was to be on him for everything, and everything would flow from that. But when your home is a place of worship to God, when you are whole, when God gets all of you, it actually enables you to go out into the world with confidence and with joy. Why? Because you know home base is good, right? That you have a strong, solid foundation from which you are going out into the world, right? Which has all kinds of competing ideas and thoughts and agendas and culture and all of that. And if you're not stable at the core of who you are, at your home base, you will be swayed, pushed, bullied, all of that throughout the life. But when you're walking with God everywhere all the time, it provides you confidence, it provides you joy, it provides you stability. This is what Moses was talking about. When Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, what he was saying, right, that the greatest commandment is that all of your life would be completely focused on God, that you would love God with the absolute best parts of your life. You would love God with the absolute worst parts of your life. He gets all of you. A life completely focused on God. By the way, that's who Jesus was. If you look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, this is who he was. He did not compartmentalize his relationship with God from everything else. He was whole. He was integrated. While he walked along the road, he talked about the Lord with the disciples. When he sat in homes, he talked about the Lord with whoever he was with. Late at night, before he lays down, he's talking with the Lord. Multiple times in the scriptures, you see him getting up early, going to a solitary place. Why? To be with the Lord. Jesus is the epitome of what human life is supposed to look like. Jesus is the authentic human experience. And Jesus' whole life was focused completely on God. In fact, in John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said this when some people asked him some questions. He said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. Now look at this. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me, and the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. This was the priority of Jesus Christ. He loved God. He loves God with his whole being. God got his heart, right? God got his strength. God got his words. God got his mind. God got his body, right? Everything was focused completely on the Lord. This is what the human experience is supposed to look like. Why was Jesus so focused on God? Because think about this. Jesus' home is a place of worship. That's what heaven is. Heaven is totally focused on the glory of God. That was the place that Jesus came from to this world. That was the place he knew he was returning to when he resurrected and ascended back to heaven, right? It was a place of worship. So that level of stability allowed him to come into a dark, uncaring, opposing world with purpose and joy. And so much so, he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to die in my place and in your place for our sin, even though he committed no sin of his own, so that we could be set free and we could now begin to worship God truly, right? This was the mindset, this was the focus of Jesus Christ. And so now, because Jesus lived a life completely committed to God, now those who put their faith in him have the ability to do the same thing as well through faith in Christ, right? That you and I can actually live totally integrated lives where God gets all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, right? All of it, and we're focused on him. So what does that look like from a practical level? Here's what I would throw out to think about as a larger idea. It's this, is that you, those of us who are followers of Jesus in this place and who are joining online, is that you and I would make our homes a place for worshiping God, if they're not already. That we would make our homes a place for worshiping God. Why do I say that? Well, we sang a song this morning, and in fact, Haley gave a really thoughtful introduction to that song to think about what we were getting ready to sing. And the reality is this, if you are a born-again believer, you are the place for worshiping God. You have to know, this building, this location, this is not the house of God. You have to understand that. This is a building, and this is a place that we use to gather, to do ministry, to train, to disciple, to encourage, to walk with each other. But this is not the house of God. You know what the house of God is? It's you, right? In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says it this way. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself anymore. Don't you realize you are the house of God? When you say yes to Jesus, when you put your faith in him genuinely, God himself, through the person of the Holy Spirit, shows up into your life, your very body. And you are now the place of worship. Everywhere you go is a place to worship the Lord, including your home. So I want to throw out just a couple of ideas on how you and I might go about doing that. And so these are just a couple of things you might think about in making your home a place for worshiping God. I'm kind of got them broken into two categories. One is inward ideas that are focused kind of inside you and inside your home. The other one are other ones are what I would call outward ideas. So we're going to kind of break them into those two. So here's an inward idea of how to make your home a place for worshiping God. The first one is this, is just simply host a Lighthouse group. This is one of the simplest ways to do that, right? This is one of the reasons Christina and I, every semester, host at least one group in our house. And the reason why is because I want prayer, reading of scripture, and talking about the Lord to be taking place under my roof. I want that blessing in my house. I want my kids to see that it is normal to talk about the Lord wherever you are, especially at home. And so we always host a group in our home, because to me, that is a blessing to be able to do that, right? And have those types of things taking place in our home. So just a simple way, really easy, is to host it. You don't even have to be the leader of it, the co-leader of it, right? You could just say, hey, I'll make my home available. If you've got a co-leader who doesn't have a place, or maybe, you know, their place is a little bit smaller, they could have it at our home. Even if our home's not that big, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have a huge home to be able to host a group. But to just say, I'll do that. By the way, that's on your connection card. If you want to do it, it's on the place that says, send me more info about hosting a group or co-leading a group. That's there, and that's the next step that you could take. But that's a really simple, easy way to just turn your home into a place for worshiping God. That now, once a week, for a few weeks, people are gathering to pray, read scripture, talk about the Lord, and serve one another in ministry. Here's another idea, and you guys are going to be really excited about this one, is worship God through chores, right? You're like, yes! A new way to make chores fun. We all have chores, we all have projects, maintenance, upkeep that we have to do. And listen, I tell Christina all the time, like if I said I'm going to do a project or fix a thing in our house, I will do it. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. I will get it done, okay? But listen, I know sometimes they're not as much fun as you think about it, but in fact, if you transition your chores, your maintenance, your whatever, into an act of worship unto God. Why would I say that? I'm not trying to trick people into washing their dishes or do their laundry. You should do that. But here's why I say that. Do you realize that caring for your home is an expression of God's original intent for humanity? When God created humanity in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, it was to steward the earth and to work the garden, to take care of it, to bring order, right? To oversee it, to steward it. When you care for your home well, you are living out your design for what God had for you to do, right? This is an act of stewardship. And I know for some, when we get to chores, when we get to projects, you go, well, I'm just going to get this as fast as I get it done as fast as I can, so then I can go on and really live my life. Listen, doing laundry is living life. Washing dishes, cleaning your home, repairing a thing, that is life. Our culture has created this dichotomy that if you're at home just doing quote-unquote mundane things, you're not really living. Instead, real living is taking trips. Real living is doing the extraordinary. Real living is going places and taking photos that no one else has ever been to before or rarely goes to. That's real life. That's not true. I'm not saying that stuff's bad, but I'm also saying taking care of your home, chores, maintenance, all that kind of stuff, that's not bad either. That's life. And in fact, you would find a lot of joy if you approach those as worship unto God, as opposed to, let me get this stuff out of my way so then I can really go live my life. This is an opportunity for humility and an opportunity for serving. Speaking of homes, here's one last way you might turn your home into a place for worshiping God, is for some of us, it's time to clean house. And I'm not talking about physically ordering it. There are some things in our homes that are actually leading you into temptation every single time you go past them. There are things in our homes that are leading us to sin. And they're there, and you know where they are. Your mind immediately went to them. You know what they are. And it is time for us to go home and clean house, and to just ask God for the courage to get rid of them. Some of us, we need to start unsubscribing from things. Some of us, we literally need to throw some stuff away. Some of us, we need to pour some things out of the drain. We need to flush some things down the toilet and literally just get rid of it and clean house. And I know for some of you, you're asking the question, well, I don't really know. I mean, how does it hurt my relationship with God? That is a very weird question to me. Rather than how is this hurting my relationship with God, the better question would be is how is it helping How is it leading me to grow? How is it getting more of my heart? How is it getting more of my soul? How is it getting more of my strength? That's the question. It's not how close can I play to sin and still be okay. It's actually how close can I walk with God, because that's where I'm going anyways. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody here. I'm just simply trying to say, you would find a lot of freedom if you just started pitching some stuff out of your house. Guilt would be gone, right? Freedom could be found from a couple of really simple steps and acts in your life. It could be that easy. It could be that simple. Hebrews 12:1 tells us this. I don't have this on the screen, but Hebrews 12:1 says this, that we should throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I want you to notice it differentiates sin from stuff that just weighs you down. And if it gets in your way and entangles you from walking with the Lord, Hebrews 12:1 would say, go, right? Pitch it, get rid of it. That's just a thought I want to throw out. By the way, I'm not preaching to you. You're just listening to a sermon to myself right now. Okay, that's a couple inward ideas. Here's a couple outward ideas really quick. And the reason I'm coming up with outward ideas is this. The idea is that not only could your home be a place of worshiping God, but also could become a light for those around you. And that comes out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, when Jesus says this, "You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lamp. Stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." I'm inviting, you are the light of Christ. I'm inviting you to turn your home into being the light of Christ, to be a lampstand in your neighborhood, in your apartment complex, out on your county road or township road, wherever that may be. So here's just a thought. What if you started prayer walk in your neighborhood? Some of us, we just walk anyways in the evening, or you know, you're like, I'm going to walk every night this week, and you do it once. That's fine. What if you prayer walked your neighborhood? What if you prayer walked your apartment complex? You're going, well, I live out in the country. Get walking, right? You got a lot of ground to cover out there. But what if you prayer walked, right? What if you started praying for people? You knew their names, you didn't know their names, right? Whatever. You're just asking the Lord to use you, for him to be clear. And, you know, in our neighborhood, we know some families recently have gone through divorce. We know some families who are going through some health stuff. So we just pray for them. We pray for them. We ask God for open doors to be able to minister to them. We don't know everybody's name in our neighborhood, but we know some of them. And that's another thing too, right? Just connecting with people, getting to know them. I had a friend share the idea on Thursday. He said, you know, my wife used to volunteer at school. You will learn every parent of all the kids in your class if you volunteer at school. And some of you have the capacity to do that. Volunteer like one day a week or something like that. Others of you don't. You can find different ways. That's what coaching soccer has done for me. God's opened up doors for me to be able to minister to teenagers and their families just by coaching soccer, right? I love soccer, but you have to know soccer's a front. Soccer's a front for the gospel, right? You begin to look at that and you become a light and a lampstand for others. So a couple next steps I would encourage you to take a look at on your connection card. By the way, all of these are on your online connection card as well, to our online community. One would be signing up for the rest of the 28 days of Blurring the Lines daily worship reminder. So a lot of you guys have shared with me, you're like, man, this has been so impactful and meaningful for me. We've had over 220 people sign up for this. They're getting texts every morning at 7 a.m. It's a scripture, it's a thought, it's an action idea, all of that. If you sign up for that, just make sure you're phone number, your mobile number is on the front. If you're not getting them, shoot us a message. We'll make sure to get that. The other one could simply be cleaning house of the things that tempt me or that are leading me into sin. All right, just might be time for that, to do that. Those are two pretty powerful next steps I would encourage you to consider. But the whole point of that is to make your home into a place for worshiping God. Because we're blurring the lines. We're blurring the lines between worship and home. Now, I do want to talk to just a segment of the room for just a moment, because I know for some of you, when you think about your home, you think about your house, this is not a place of worship. It's not even a place of warmth. Some of you are older, you don't have fond memories of your home growing up. Some of you, the house you're living in now, even as adults, you're going, this is not a place of warmth and hope and worship for me. Rather, it's marked by chaos. It's marked by dysfunction. It's marked by divorce. It's marked by depression. It's marked by anxiety, right? And you're going, how in the world am I supposed to turn that environment into a place for worshiping God? I get it. I really do. That's my story, right? That's like, I grew up in poverty. I grew up in a divorced household. I grew up in the house of an alcoholic. I grew up, right, in a house that was marked and led by depression. I get that. I really do. And so I'm not telling you, like, ignore all that and just put plaster on a smile and everything will be okay. That is not what we're talking about here. That's a real thing. And some of you are in very, very unique, challenging situations. But here's what I want to tell you. If you're in that place, it is time for you to draw a line. To draw a line in the dirt. That you are no longer going to be a thermometer, but instead you're going to be a thermostat. See, a thermometer reads the temperature and tells you what temperature the room is and what's going on in there and adjusts itself to meeting the environment. But a thermostat changes the environment, sets the culture, sets the environment. And it's okay for you to do that if you're in Christ. It's time for you to draw a line to say, I am no longer going to be shaped by my environment. I'm no longer going to just do whatever is happening around me or in my home. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm inviting God to shape my environment in me and then through me. Right? I'm going to ask God to change my heart and change the setting at the same time. Listen, Jesus said the most important thing is to love God with your whole self, your whole being, your whole life. And I have to believe that also includes the dysfunctional parts of our lives, that he gets all of it, that not somehow you give him the best you have and then you have to figure out the other stuff. In fact, you give all of it to him and he figures it all out for you and changes you in the process. This is faith. This is trust. This is hope. And so I'm just saying it's time to blur the lines like you've never blurred them before, to where you can't even tell a distinction between your home and worship. That they're so integrated together. And maybe you don't have, maybe you're a student and you don't have control over your house. Maybe you can have, you can turn your room into a place of worship. Maybe you don't even have control over your room. You know what Jesus said? You can turn your closet into a church. Matthew 6, that's what he says. You can go and find a closet and pray and be with the Lord. Right? You are the house of God. You are the temple of the Spirit. You can worship him. Blur the lines. He's inviting you to. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We ask this question each weekend. And the question is, Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And then I just want to give you a chance to listen to him. Well, if you're part of Lighthouse Community, you know that we love to pray for one another. And so that's what we're going to do. We want to pray for you. And so let me tell you what's going to happen is the band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one more song. So that, or actually, we've got a few more songs. I forgot about that. We flip-flopped that service, didn't we? We did that on purpose. So they're going to lead a couple more songs. And during that time, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available to pray with you about anything at all. And so they'll be in kind of the corners of the room. We'll have one under each TV, and then we'll have two back by the sound booth available to pray with you. And so I'm going to ask those prayer leaders if they'll start making their ways to those locations now so people are ready. And so during this song, you'll just step out of your seat, head down the aisle, and then head to one of those corners. And they're going to be available to pray with you about absolutely anything, anything at all. And so you don't have to be a member. If this is your first time at Lighthouse Community, you go, I've never been here before. It's like, that's fine. You can receive prayer here. This is for anybody. And I share this every week, but it's really important. You don't have to be embarrassed to want to receive prayer because every single one of us needs prayer. right? If we were genuinely transparent, we would all be able to go through many, many things that we would go, man, if God doesn't show up, I'm just in trouble. And so you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed, because I need prayer. You need prayer. We all do. It's okay. By the way, if you're online, there's a button right there. You can request prayer, and one of our hosts will pray with you literally right now in real time. They would love to do that with you. And so I'm going to ask those who are in the house to let's stand together as we transition into this time of singing and worship. And if you want to receive prayer, man, just don't even wait. Step out of your seat, head to one of those corners, and we will pray with you. So let me pray for you, and then I want to invite you to do the same thing as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.